Brahma, the god of creation and creativity, also known as the original Prajapati, god of procreation. Ka, the deity of reproductive organs. Among the Vedic nakshatra, he dwells in the constellation known as Rohini, which means the blushing bride, or the rosy lady. Rohini is visually represented by symbols of fertility, like a healthy young woman, or a bull pulling a cart overflowing with produce, or a verdant, fruitful tree, like the gigantically expansive banyan. The main star of the rosy lady Rohini is the rosy, passionately red star Aldebaran, which is easily seen amongst the stars that many other cultures described as having the shape of Taurus, a bull. The qualities of a nakshatra are a direct result of the qualities of the god that dwells in that nakshatra. So Rohini, the abode of the original procreator, is a star of creativity, fertility, and procreation. So I'll read you a couple of stories from my book, 27 Stars, 27 Gods, to give you some more personal sense of who Brahma is. This is the call. This one's called The Tale of Creation. It is, I say here, Vedic literature gives us a few different angles on the birth of Brahma and how he created the world. I'll incorporate all these as I present you the Puranic tale of creation. So, for example, Manusmriti, Chapter 1, and Vamana Purana, Chapter 43, use the metaphor of an egg within the ocean. So that's part of the story. Vedanta Sutra contributes something to the story by giving some philosophical dimension and context and meaning. Brahma Samhita also adds details, and Bhagavat Purana gives context to them all. In its first part, Chapter 3, second part, Chapters 4 and 5, and third part, chapter 8, and in other chapters as well. Okay, so here's the story. Before all else, there is consciousness. It is full of inherent joy and bliss. Joy is not stagnant. By nature, it is ever amplifying. Amplification implies an original signal and a distinct entity to amplify that signal. So plurality is therefore inherent in the original singular consciousness. Since joy does not thrive in loneliness, an infinite number of beings eternally center around the original consciousness. Already you got a picture of Rohini. You know, it's the origin of creation. What is the origin of creation? Joy, bliss, the desire to experience that joy, the desire to share that bliss and expand that bliss. And it's giving you already a good picture of Rohini, the nakshatra. Those infinite beings that center around the original consciousness possess free will. They are free will and are free to be non-cooperative with the scenario. Therefore, a mirror image of reality exists, where the centrality of the original consciousness is hidden in darkness, and the peripheral spark of free will can imagine herself to be central. Into this darkness, the original consciousness expands as Purusha, the original Vishnu. Purusha reclines there, in the darkness, lays down in the darkness, on the ocean of causes and possibilities. Karuna Udaka. While partially submerged in the waters, an infinite number of bubbles exhale from the pores of his body. Some tales portray these bubbles as eggs, specifically as golden eggs. This is because an egg is circular, like a bubble, and contains within it all the materials and energies required to create something new. The egg is golden because it glows with conscious power, being a radiation from the divine all-conscious body of the Purusha. These bubble eggs are the proto-solar systems floating in the vast ocean of causality space. Eggs require seeds before they can create anything. Therefore, the Purusha penetrates into each of them. So again, the tale of creation from the Vedic point of view is definitely sexual. And so that's also an important part of Rohini. It's a sexual start, not in a frustrating, lusty way, but in a very beautiful, opulent, creative, fertile way. Eggs require seeds before they can create anything. Therefore, the Purusha penetrates into each of them. Within each egg, he again reclines on a cosmic ocean. While partially submerged in this ocean, some of its water collects in his navel, in which a lotus flower grows. When the flower at the top of that lotus opened its petals, the god of creation, Brahma, sat upon its central world. So when this flower opened up, boom, there was Brahma. That's how Brahma was born. Even though, interestingly, the god of procreation has no mother or father, and therefore is called Aja. But if you have no mother or father, then you have to be born from a flower, because flowers create children without having mothers and fathers. At first, Brahma did not know who he was, what he was supposed to do, or how he was supposed to do it. He climbed down the stem of the lotus but couldn't find its end. He looked around in all directions and thus developed five heads, east, west, north, south, and up. Later, Shiva removed one of these. We'll hear about that when we get to Shiva's star. Yet Brahma, even with all his heads, could not find a clue to answer any of his questions. Then the Purusha spoke a single word. Brahma didn't know it was from the Purusha, but the Purusha spoke a single word, which Brahma heard as a voice from the vastness of space, Tapa. The voice said, this was an instruction to Brahma, and Brahma understood it, that he should be still, control yourself, be humble, then you will understand. How could he understand this word? Because it was just the opposite of what he had been doing. He had been frantically searching externally for answers and was coming to wit's end, and then he heard this word, Tapa, and which was clearly a guidance from somebody, meaning that he should do something different than what he was trying so far. So instead of frustratingly searching outside himself for answers, Tapa, he realized, must mean that I should calm down and I should concentrate and just search within for the answers. So that's what he did. Brahma practiced stillness and self-control, and as a result, his mind became receptive to a full transmission of knowledge from Vishnu. So this is another trait of Rohini. It's a feminine place, so it's a very receptive place, and it can receive a lot of... whatever it receives, it can amplify. Just like a woman can receive some energy from a man, but then produces something that's so much greater than the small energy that she received from the man. So Rohini is like that. It can receive any little bit of energy and then produce some amazing product from it. It's very receptive, just as Brahma became very receptive to Vishnu and gained a full transmission of knowledge from him. And then he created the Veda, which is now what we're reading from, more or less. So in that transmission, he received everything he needed to know, including the blueprint of how to use the primordial energies available within the egg to assemble all the various forms and creations of the universe. Before Brahma, there was nothing but what we might call subatomic quantums. Everything which now exists is a creation of Brahma or a subsequent creation of his creation. So let's stop for a moment to consider how immensely creative Brahma must be. He's the creator of the entire universe, the most creative being in it. Perhaps now we can appreciate how his star Rohini abounds in creative power. That's one of the stories in this chapter on Rohini. I actually want to read you a little bit more, because it's just so really, really interesting. The tale of how Brahma operates as the original Prajapati is really fascinating. If you want the full details on it, there's another book that I have. It's called Varaha, Vidura, and Kapila, which is a translation of Bhagavatam's third canto. So first he was creating beings manually from his own material, from his own subtle mind and thoughts. He was creating individual beings. It was very difficult to do. You couldn't populate the whole universe like that. So he was trying to create, manually create, some beings that could automatically create others. But it was very difficult to do that. And he faced a lot of frustration before he finally got it right. So first he created, something that's not even living. First he created ignorance, because he's going to populate a world of darkness with living beings, an external world. So he has to create a sort of ignorance that allows conscious beings to believe that they are a part of an unconscious world. After creating that ignorance, he felt dirty, and he wanted to create something clean and to help living entities get knowledge so that they could get out of that ignorance. So he created from his intelligence, he created four young boys. We know them as the four Kumaras, that's a popular name for them, the Sanats, the Sanas, the Chatusanas. So he created these four children with immense knowledge, and he told them, okay, now we need to create lots of other living beings, so you help me procreate. Let's figure out how to get this automatic reproduction going. See how Rohini is concerned with reproduction, creativity. And what did they say? They said, sorry, we're not going to do that. And Brahma was like, what? My first kids don't even obey me? I worked so hard to create these guys, and the first thing they do is disobey me? They're not going to help me with my plan, and then this is what I have to do for Vishnu, and they're not going to help me? He started to become so angry. But at the same time, he felt that they were okay, they were right, he shouldn't get angry at them. They didn't want to get involved in the world of illusions. They wanted to just cultivate their knowledge. So he's trying not to be angry at them, but his anger was building up so much in his head, and his head was scrunching. And it was accumulating, the anger was accumulating here. And his forehead became purple, and then all of a sudden, something happened. Rudra came out, purple and red, male and female mixed together, and was just howling. And looked at Brahma and said, who am I? Give me a name. Brahma named him Rudra. You're the howler. And then he said, what should I do? Brahma said, we need to create beings. So Shiva said, okay. Brahma was happy. And Shiva said, okay, first thing you need to do is you need to separate your male and female sides. And then Shiva said, okay, he split into Rudra and Rudrani. And then Brahma said, okay, now we need a lot of you, so split it into 11. So Rudra and Rudrani, each one split into 11. So there was 11 pairs of male and female Rudras. And now Brahma said, okay, this is good. Now you guys make babies. So they went off. So they said, yes, that sounds great. So they went off and they started making babies, and they made tons. But they were full of anger. They were the creation of Brahma's anger. So all these creations, all these children that they made were angry, destructive monsters. They started to destroy the universe, and they started to threaten Brahma. So that's when Brahma told Shiva, you know, destruction has its place. You have to learn how to calm down. You have to learn how to meditate like I did. That's when, and then when Shiva did that successfully, Brahma changed his name from Rudra to Shiva. Shiva means auspicious. We'll talk about that more in Shiva's star, Ardra. But coming back to Brahma, then after this, this is another failure with Shiva. He finally got somebody who was willing to make babies, but then he made all these monsters that just destroy the universe. So he's still frustrated. So he says, thinks to himself, now I just need to make beings that are specifically interested in making other beings. So he made this class of beings called Prajapatis. He made about 10 or 12 of them. Oh, a couple of them didn't want to cooperate with the idea of making babies. So he had to make another little extra batch. So he comes up to about 12 Prajapatis. So they're all ready, but they're like, well, we need women. You can't make babies without women. That's another important thing about Rohini. Rohini is a feminine star. Fertility is a feminine thing, mostly. Although a bull is a symbol of male fertility, and that's also included in Rohini. But Rohini is the blushing bride. Rohini is the reddish lady. Red means she's fertile. She's a woman. So these Prajapatis, they said, well, we need Prajapatinis. We need women. Where are they? So Brahma created some women, but it wouldn't quite work. There was something wrong. Something about DNA or something like that, you could say. Something was wrong. He even became frustrated. At one point, he started to think, let me just do this myself. And so he created this. He had created one daughter who was in the goddess of intelligence, which is personified as words. And I mean, intelligence is summarized as words. So the goddess of speech and intelligence, Vak. And Brahma thought, she would be perfect. She would be perfect as the mother of creation. Intelligence and words would be wonderful. And he wanted to speak all this knowledge that he received from Vishnu. He wanted to speak. He wanted to put it into words. Excellent words, perfect words that would communicate what Vishnu had explained to him. He wanted to create the Veda. So he wanted to marry Vak. But Vak felt like she was his daughter. In a sense, she was. In a sense, everybody is Brahma's daughter. Brahma's the original person. There's nobody else in the universe that's not his brother, his son or daughter. So Vak wasn't really into it. But Brahma kept proposing. And Brahma kept pushing and was starting to become a little bit pushy. And so the Prajapatis stopped him and said, respectfully stopped him and said, what are you doing? This is not right. Okay, she's your daughter. That's one thing. But that's excusable because everybody is your daughter or your father. So it's not like you're a normal father. But what's inexcusable is that she's not interested in you and you keep pushing yourself on her. So again, there's a lot of sexuality in Rohini. It's not pushy. It's not a negative sexuality, but still you see, Brahma is very concerned with reproduction. And he even gets so concerned that he gets a bit excited. And so he gets disgusted with himself. And he rectifies himself by actually getting rid of his form and creating a new body. And he created a new body out of words, and then he was able to create the Veda. And then Vak agreed that she would marry him in a sense, but they wouldn't have children together. They would create the Veda. And she also becomes known as Saraswati. With his new body, he figures out to create humans. And he changes this new body, and he takes from this new body two humans, male and female, Shatarupa and Manu, Swayambhuva Manu. And the two of these humans, they can procreate. And then that's the beginning of the population of the universe. So all these stories are there. And 27 gods are in more detail in my translation of the third canto, Varaha Vidura Kapila. This one you can get on my astrology website, vikdakarat.com. This one you can get on my bhakti yoga website, which is vrajakishore.com. I'll put the links. Now, finally, I'll just read you the paragraph that I have and 27 stars, 27 gods, about the interpretive qualities of Rohini, the blushing bride. The key words for Rohini are creativity, fertility, passion, beauty, inspiration, and imagination. Rohini is the star of fertility and creativity, two traits always accompanied by passion and beauty. It is a star of motivation and all manner of creative talents. It abounds in imagination and procreation. It is a short-lived but hot temper when frustrated, as illustrated by Brahma's anger. Okay, we're going to do all the stars, so subscribe to my channels and check back. Stay in touch.